Hey.
Welcome to Noah's Bark.
Oh, I shouldn't drum on this desk during the podcast. What is up, everybody? Welcome to Noah's Bark. It's the PhoneDog.com podcast with me, Noah from PhoneDog.com. Hit me one time! Huh! What's up, everybody? Thank you so much for tuning in. Tuesday, October 21st, 2008. This episode of the Phone Dog Podcast is brought to you by the Tampa Bay Rays. Ha ha! I am not a baseball fan. I am not a Rays fan, but I love it when Boston sports teams lose. Eva Longoria, thank you for having a brother and making him such a good baseball player. What is going on, everyone? Welcome to the show. Thank you. This episode is actually brought to you by nobody. If you want to sponsor the Phone Dog Podcast, drop us a line, phonedog.com. And for all other inquiries, questions, and everything else, head on over to phonedog.com. You can also see us on Facebook. We've got a Phone Dog page, and you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/phonedog. We are working out the details of a very exciting thing we're going to start doing on our Facebook page. I've been talking about this for a little while, and we're ramping it up, ironing out the details, testing it and stuff. We're going to be doing some cool things on the Facebook page very soon. So if you're not a fan, head on over and become a fan. And I also want to give a big warm welcome to Adriana and John, Phone Dog's two newest contributing editors. If you've been following the site, you know, John has been writing recently. He's been doing some phone reviews, expert reviews, the Touch Diamond and the Samsung Omnia, and some other stuff. And he's also been covering Android and Linux and open source. I think he's got a new article up yesterday about Firefox? Oh, it's a drum roll for John. Firefox, Opera Mobile, I don't know, Opera Mobile 9.5, some news on that up there. Adriana is out of New York City, and she covered the G1 launch party last week, and it was actually kind of funny. Here comes the sound effect. Yeah, it wasn't scary, it was funny. She covered the event and posted a post and had a picture of her with the actor Jason Biggs, and I saw it, and I was like, oh, that's what John Biggs from Crunch Gear looks like, but I got confused. Your heroes are movie stars, mine are other bloggers, so anyway. What's up, everyone? Thanks for tuning in. Lots going on in the phone world, even though I just wasted a couple minutes of your time rambling on about stuff. Now it's important because we've got new people on the site. We're excited about it and wanted to let you know. But lots going on in the world of phones. Obviously, the Google G1 stuff, we did a whole bunch of videos that are available now, written review. The press embargo basically was lifted, and so there was just a whole bunch of stuff on the web this week about the G1, or last week rather, and this week customers who pre-ordered the phone have started receiving it. In a nutshell, the review's been pretty mixed. And it's interesting because my whole thing with the phone was I thought the hardware just feels, it works very well, the touchscreen's great, but the keyboard is too flush-mounted, it was hard for me to use. The chin gets kind of in the way when you're of your right thumb when you're trying to type on it. And the phone just feels kind of bulky and clunky, doesn't have a lot of style, doesn't have a regular headphone jack, just some things like that. But I thought the software in general was good. It was missing some consumer features, but playing with it was really fun. I was expecting more of a beta-feeling device, and instead I thought it's very smooth and polished, and I don't know why there's no video player integrated, things like that, but the OS experience, that was great. The notification system is perhaps the best you'll see on a smartphone anywhere. And I'm reading some of the other reviews, and people are trashing the UI. So I don't know if I took a happy pill that day, or some of the other bloggers took a cranky pill, or, if what? I'm not on Google's payroll, I promise you, YouTube commenters. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. But I think it's worth checking out. I personally am not going to buy one. I'm on T-Mobile, but I'm going to wait and see what else comes out this holiday season and stick with my unlocked iPhone for now as my personal phone. But if you want to find out all about the G1, we've got a written review, we've got some blog posts, and we've got, I think it's up to like 7 or 8 videos now. In addition, that's our multi-part review, in addition to all the stuff that Doug got us at the press event in New York a while back. So check that all out. It's on phonedog.com. Right on the top of the page there, there's a new featured area. Andre and Rebecca have been doing yeoman's work, that's not a word. Updating the site, lots of new stuff. So there's a featured area up there, and it's got the information, the link rather, to all our info on the G1. So check that out if you want to find out about the T-Mobile G1 with Google, the first Android phone, which is now available in the United States. All right, coming up on the show today, we're going to speak with Rick Robinson, VP of Services for Xome. He's going to tell us all about Xome, which is Sprint's WiMAX venture. It's now the first commercially available WiMAX offering, I think in general, but definitely for consumers anyway, in the United States. It rolled out in Baltimore, and it's up and running, and we're going to get Rick on to tell us all about what Xome is, what it does, how much it costs, what we can expect from it, all that kind of thing, so stay tuned for that. And as well, just a ton of new phones all of a sudden got bombarded with a deluge of mountainous proportions and stuff. Just all kinds of phones coming in the office last week. So we will run down some of those new devices and you know, a little lightning round style action, first blush on some of these new phones. So that'll be coming up on the show. And you never know what else might happen on the bark. So you're going to have to stay tuned. You're listening to Noah's Bark, episode number 8. For Tuesday, October 22nd, 2008, it's Noah's Bark from phonedog.com. This episode is brought to you by the Tampa Bay Rays. Good job sending the Red Sox home to the long, cold New England winter. Now, are we ready for NBA season or what? Yeah, I don't know, man. My Warriors are in trouble, Monte Ellis. When you suspend your own best player for 30 games in an 82-game season, you know you got problems. We'll be right back in a minute. It's Noah's Bark from phonedog.com. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned. What's up? We're back. Noah's Bark from phonedog.com with me. Noah from phonedog.com. Thanks for tuning in. Did you check out Saturday Night Live this past weekend? I had a friend of mine from back east who were talking about Saturday Night Live, and he was saying, man, now you got to watch because they always do well with the political stuff. And it's true. The rest of the show I've been finding, it's a little bit better actually the past couple weeks, but it's uneven, no doubt. But their political stuff is funny. And they had the actual Sarah Palin on the other night, and I think she should skip the whole political thing and get a job on TV because she's pretty good. Regardless of your feelings about her qualifications to run the country, which I will not get into or be second in command, she was good on the show, and they made good use of her funny stuff with Tina Fey, and then the Amy Poehler rap during Weekend Update I thought was excellent. So check that out if you haven't. I think it's on one of those crazy services where you can watch TV on the web. All right, let's get straight into the lightning round. Lightning round. It's been a busy 2 weeks in cell phone land, man. Well, all this stuff with the G1, you know, is a big deal, the first Android phone, so we spent a lot of time covering the ins and outs of it. And in the meantime, the FedEx guy and the UPS guy and the FedEx gal just kept showing up with more toys. And usually, I mean, it's fun, don't get me wrong. Usually it's exciting. Most exciting part of my day is when I get a package from the FedEx guy. But it was just like, no more. I can't even deal with them. And we got all these new phones in, so we're going to go real quick. I don't even know if I can do thumbs up, thumbs down on all of them because I haven't used them all yet and whatever. But so we got the LG Lotus. We unboxed that one on video. It's interesting. It's a flip phone with, it's not quite a smartphone, but kind of high-end messaging phone features. Full QWERTY, Ebdu Data, HTML browser, Sprint TV, Sprint Music, all that stuff on it. So far, I like it. It's got a few little quirks. that I'm trying to get used to, and I'm a little disappointed in the browser so far. And the whole Sprint one-click thing, I don't know, I wish they had a way to turn it off just so you could have that option if you don't want it there. But it's interesting, definitely. Also from Sprint, the Samsung Rant, which is kind of like an LG Rumor in look, but higher end features, solid metal construction, 2-megapixel camera. That one so far looks pretty cool. The Samsung High Note, which is a music phone. It's a slider phone with a big speaker and kind of a click wheel kind of thing on the front. 3.5 millimeter. 3.5 millimeter headphone jack, I was trying to say. Sorry, some strange business going on in the background here. So the High Note, interesting slider phone, music-centric phone on Sprint, also has the one-click interface. We also got a couple AT&T phones, the Sony Ericsson W760 Walkman phone, which we first saw way back at CES, I believe. It's a slider, got a 3-megapixel camera, and that thing where you can shake it, and it changes the songs and stuff. So we'll be checking that out soon. Also, the Pantech Matrix, which we did an unboxing of. It's kind of like the Pantech Duo, which is kind of like the Helio Ocean, which Pantech had a hand in building. It's but this is a messaging phone, not a full-on smartphone. It's the first of 4 messaging phones AT&T is going to be releasing for this holiday season. And it's got this dual-layer keypad thing where, you know, you slide it one way and it's a numerical keypad. You slide it the other way and it's got a full QWERTY. And that one, I don't know about, because the screen's kind of small and it's kind of thick. It's compact in terms of what they call the footprint, the length and width, but it's actually kind of a thick, slightly heavy phone. So I don't know. Definitely good, though, to see AT&T coming out with some messaging phones, because there's been a big demand for those from at least the people I talk to, consumers, AT&T customers who want a messaging phone. So that's the first of 4 to be coming out very soon. So stay tuned for more of those. What else? We've got the Sony Ericsson C902 Cybershot phone. I've been checking that one out. It's a GSM phone, 5-megapixel camera. It's thin. It's like 10.5 millimeters thin. It's a candy bar. It's got this kind of cool sliding thing, that sliding lens cover, 5-megapixel camera, flash underneath. I like it. It feels great. It's got a metal frame covered, you know, with like a plastic kind of soft grip finish, and it feels very solid and luxurious. And it works very well, but the screen's a little bit small and the flash isn't that powerful on the camera. But I like Sony Ericsson's software always, so I've been playing with that one. Actually, I put my iPhone on the shelf to play with put my SIM card in the Sony Ericsson for a little while, taking some pictures and stuff. And what else did we get? We got the Moto Crave, the new Verizon Crave, the ZN4. This is an interesting device. It's a flip phone, a lot of flip smartphone messaging phones lately, the BlackBerry Flip on T-Mobile, and the Lotus we told you about on Sprint, and now the Crave on Verizon. And it's a touchscreen phone, and it's got a flip. It's based design-wise off of the old Moto Mings, if you're familiar with those, which were Linux-based GSM smartphones that were never officially released in the U.S., but had a following for sure overseas and with some hardcore cell phone junkies here in the States. But so it's based off of that. It looks kind of like a Star Trek communicator. It's a flip phone with a clear plastic cover. And kind of the interesting thing about the ZN4 is that it's a touchscreen, but then actually the flip is also touch sensitive. So with the phone closed, you can still use it like a touchscreen. It's just that the software is limited so that you can only have limited functionality when the flip is closed. And then there's other functionality you can only get when you open up the flip. I really like this phone because it's compact. It's got an HTML browser. It's got you can text in T9 mode vertically, or you can turn it horizontally and have a full QWERTY. It's got the touchscreen is pretty responsive. It's got an accelerometer that rotates the screen automatically. 3.5 millimeter headphone jack, which is great. Sounds really good. I put some my own earbuds into it, some kind of high quality Edemotic earphones, and it sounded really good. Even with VCast downloads, you know, which are smaller file size, compressed. It still sounded pretty good, so I was psyched about it. But there's a few things I don't like. That when you have the flip open, it kind of makes typing a little awkward. And I can't seem to figure out, as far as I can tell, you can't multitask at all. I'm going to talk to the people from Motorola to confirm this. But you can't, like, you know, start music and leave it playing in the background while you go and send a text message or email or whatever. So far as I can tell, once I leave the music app, the music functionality stops, which is kind of a drag, because otherwise this seems like a really cool, you know, phone that does a lot of things, mobile email, all that stuff, but in a nice small form factor with a really pretty responsive touchscreen. So we'll see as we play with that a little more and talk to the folks at Motorola and Verizon to get the scoop. What else? All kinds of stuff going on. You know, the whole, all the rumors with the G2. We'll talk about the G1 a little more in a minute. But all the rumors with, you know, what's going to be the next Android phone. Kind of two new developments on that front. One is the guys over at Timo News had a post up the other day about how they've seen a phone codenamed Sapphire that is a, it sounds kind of maybe like the Touch HD relative form factor, big touch screen, candy bar phone, but with a trackball at the bottom. And they didn't say too much about it, but they said, you know, you definitely won't be disappointed by it if you're a T-Mobile fan. But not to hold out, because it's going to be a little while before it comes out. I think they said more like middle of next year, maybe even Q3 2009. So if you're interested in Android, you want to try Android right away, the G1 is going to be the only way to go for a while, which is disappointing, but also makes sense, the way these things work. And then also something new came out on the web this week about the, or actually maybe end of last week, about Motorola being at work on an Android-based phone with a lot of social networking capabilities. And they're talking about kind of a touchscreen with a slide-out QWERTY board, some other high-end features, but maybe a little sexier and slimmer and flashier than the G1. So interesting, Motorola trying to make a little comeback here with the Crave and maybe an Android phone, and then also the Moto Zine ZN5, which we showed you on video from CTIA. You can see that on phonedog.com. That's going to be coming to T-Mobile. We're here on November 3rd. 5-megapixel camera for T-Mobile. And let's see, what else? Storm, lots of Storm ads on TV, and some new video that Verizon released floating around the web. Supposedly it showed up in Best Buy's inventory system with a release date around November 16th or something, but then we're hearing other reports that Verizon is doing these promotional tours and showing employees how the phones work and stuff, and those aren't going to be over until November 20th. So hard to say, but it looks like in time for Black Friday, as we call it here in the States, for better or for worse, the day after Thanksgiving, the big shopping day when people line up at like 7 the night before, they take their pumpkin pie from the table and bring it with them to wait in line at Circuit City so they can get a flat-screen TV for cheap. I hit Black Friday one year, but I did it kind of sneaky style. I can't reveal my secrets, but there's some forums online where you can learn about the tricks if you're all into Black Friday, but I don't know. I did it more kind of out of curiosity, and of course, since I was going, I had to try to get a deal, but really, I don't think it's worth it. I don't know. If you got to hit up Black Friday to get a super good deal on a, you know, new TV set or whatever, maybe the TV set's not worth it. Stay home, be with your friends, be with your family, eat your turkey or, you know, eat your tofurkey if you're vegan, and relax and enjoy. Because, you know, you get time off from work. You want to spend it with your friends. That's what you want to do. Your family, enjoy it. Make some dessert. Pumpkin pie. Anyway, we'll be right back in a minute on Noah's Bark. Coming up after the break, we're going to talk with Rick Robinson, Vice President of Services for Xome. Xome is a business unit of Sprint. And Xome is Sprint's new WiMAX venture that launched in Baltimore. It's like the best of both worlds. It's mobile, but it's fast. It's data. It's stuff. It's crazy. We're going to hear from him so we get it straight. If you're listening to Noah's Bark with me, Noah from PhoneDog.com. It's the PhoneDog.com podcast. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
All right, we're back on Noah's Bark, the PhoneDog.com podcast. And with me now, I have a special guest. It's Rick Robinson, who is the VP of Services for Xome. As we mentioned a little bit earlier, and as you likely know if you've been following the news and or live in the Baltimore area, Xome is a business unit of Sprint, and it's the first commercial deployment of WiMAX, at least to consumers, in the United States. So we're very pleased to have Rick Robinson on the show today. He's going to speak a little bit about Xome, what it is, what WiMAX is, and what it means now and could mean in the future to you, the consumer. So, Rick, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, to get started, first of all, congratulations on the Baltimore launch. I've been
following
it. I haven't had a chance to use it myself. I'm out here in California, but it's very exciting, and I've been reading some of the reviews early reviews on it, and it sounds great. But for the people listening who don't necessarily know, could you maybe just kind of answer the question, what is WiMAX and what is Xome?
Yeah, let me explain it the best way I can. Simplest terms, it's a hotspot the size of a city. What that means is most people probably understand Wi-Fi. A lot of people have Wi-Fi in their homes or have used Wi-Fi at coffee shops and whatnot. However, the Wi-Fi service generally is measured in yards as opposed to a greater distance. What we're doing with WiMAX is increasing that distance, as I mentioned, to the length of a city from one end to another, and offering broadband speeds that you can use not only when you're sitting in a coffee shop or in a park, but also while you're moving, let's say, in a car or what have you. So it's a high-speed mobile network that is available into devices, including laptops and modems, and soon into many, many other kinds of consumer electronics devices, including things like cameras and video cameras and so on.
Okay, and right now in the United States, it's available where?
Right now it's available officially in Baltimore. That was our launch a couple weeks ago, Lawrence City, and we're planning to roll it out in several other cities very soon, and of course across the country. Some of that is dependent upon, you might have read, our pending marriage with Clearwire, forming a new company. So some of our rollout is dependent upon that, which we expect to happen before the end of the year. But we are currently diligently working on Washington, D.C., Chicago, Philadelphia, Boston, and Dallas-Fort Worth. And what some of your listeners may not know is some of those cities are hot, in effect. Some people have already discovered they're able to jump on the network there with a device. It's not officially live, so you know if you crash or you're not getting top performance, then you know it's sort of swim at your own risk. But those services are out there, and we're rushing to get them officially live soon.
Great. And just to clarify, is Xome something that consumers can also use to make phone calls, or is it a data only service and not for voice?
Yeah. You probably heard of 3G. Xome is typically referred to, and WiMAX is typically referred to as 4G, whereas 3G is primarily voice with data capabilities. Xome is primarily data with voice taking a backseat to it, if you will. So to answer your question, can you do voice? Yes, you can do VoIP over our network quite well if you've got Skype or what have you. You can use it as that sort of a service, a voice service. It's not a cellular service, so we're not leading with cell phones per se, but that doesn't mean it isn't part of the roadmap next year.
Okay, and if I'm in Baltimore now, or I'm not, but if some of the listeners are in Baltimore and they're interested, what's available to them from Xome, and what does it cost?
So for those in Baltimore, there's a number of options. You have a modem that you can have in your home, and the way it works is a little different from typical modems. It's not like the old-school modems where the signal comes in through a wire into your home. Instead, you have this modem that you put near a window, and the signal comes in through the air into the modem, and then you can broadcast out through Wi-Fi throughout your home. And if you want to, as you we discussed earlier, if you wanted to move from one place to another, let's say from your home to your friend's home, you pick up the modem, unplug it, drive over to your friend's home, plug it back in, and it works. As long as you're in coverage, it'll work just the same. So it gives you that kind of mobility with a modem. And that is a price point, I believe, is $79 in Baltimore. Then we have cards that slip into laptops, both USB and the PC Connect cards. Mm-hmm. And those allow you to have pretty much full mobility through a laptop. And what that means is kind of what I described before, is you flip in the card, The signal comes in through the air right into your system, just like it would with a Wi-Fi card in when you're in Wi-Fi connectivity.
Right.
It's high-speed connection wherever you happen to be, if you're long as you're in range of the service.
Right. Okay. It's Noah's Bark, the phonedog.com podcast. We're talking with Rick Robinson, VP of Services for Zoom. Zoom is, of course, the WiMAX venture from Sprint that just recently rolled out in the Baltimore area. And as Rick was describing, we'll be coming to some more major metro markets in the U.S. very soon. And we've been talking about the basics of Zoom and your ability to use it at home and away. And just to clarify, you mentioned something about using the home modem like a Wi-Fi router. So in my case, which I think is pretty common amongst people who have broadband at home in the U.S., we have a cable modem at my house, and we have a Wi-Fi router, and we share the signal between my laptop, my wife's laptop, and then our video game system uses it also. Is that something that somebody could do with a home Zoom router? Could they share the signal between devices?
Yes, they can. You at home, and it's not meant for commercial use, but for residential and personal use, you could definitely replace that cable modem with a Zoom modem, plug it into your Wi-Fi router, and go. And move from one place to another, do the same thing. Eventually, we anticipate having that router Wi-Fi out capability built into the modem as well, so you don't even need the router. But to answer your question, it absolutely can. And one thing that I did forget to mention right off the bat was one of the key differentiators with Zoom is not only the broadband speeds and the mobility, but also the whole new business model, which is no longer based on contracts or early cancellation fees and all of that. With Zoom, there are no contracts, and you can have a monthly plan or you can have a day pass if you want. We're not locking people into those sort of things that traditional telecoms have in the past.
That's great. And again, not to get too specific about my own experience, but I think some of the people listening can relate. I'm a freelancer. I'm kind of a small business owner, if you will. And so for me, I'm, often working between home, and I have an office where I have a cable modem connection also, but then, a fair amount on the road, and there are obviously data card connections and that kind of thing. But, somebody like me, I wind up paying for internet at home, at my office, perhaps on my cell phone with a data plan. Maybe I'm buying day passes at, a coffee shop or an airport or a hotel when I'm on the road. So it sounds like potentially down the line, this is the kind of thing that, as you said, no contracts sounds great. And
yep.
As more of, the country, and obviously WiMAX is in play in other places in the world already, as more of the places we go get blanketed, something like this sounds like it could really be a boon to, anybody from the small business owner to the business traveler.
Absolutely. It could be one-stop shopping.
Right.
Solve a lot of your connectivity needs in one product. And it's taking some people time to wrap their heads around that, because it is so encompassing and is so freeing in many ways. And we're finding that as people kind of grok it in Baltimore, reading the blogs and so on, they're waking up to, wait a minute, I can do this and I can do that, and it's for this fee, and I can bail anytime I want.
Right.
It's very gratifying to kind of read the evolution of the blogs, for instance, from the, especially the skeptics who start with, this isn't going to fly, to, wow, I'm converted. So, we were kind of holding our breath as we were rolling out, and it's, like I said, not to knocking on wood here, it's been extremely gratifying to watch people get it as it was rolled out and explained to them that it's the whole new world, and people are pretty excited, which is great.
It is. It's exciting, and sad as it is to say, or not sad, but being able to bail at any time, I think, is something that people.
Yeah,
aren't
I mean, it's
hearing,
fair.
So it's.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I say that with all sincerity. And point is, if we're not servicing the customers the way they ought to be serviced, then we expect them to bail.
Right.
I would do the same thing. So our intention, obviously, is not to have people leave. So we're trying to make the best service possible. And we're doing that through focusing on the network and on the devices, but also on services, not to leave those out of the discussion. For customers who come onto the Xome network, they're presented with a customizable homepage that they don't have to use, but they are given the option to use it. And on that webpage, we're serving up content that's location-centric. Because the network is able to detect where a device is geographically, we're able to serve up all kinds of content that's relevant to you wherever you happen to be at that moment. And we think this is really useful in a utility way, but also potentially in an entertainment-focused way, and as it comes to connecting with friends and so on. We have a lot of anticipation around these sorts of services as we continue to roll this out from city to city.
Excellent.
So
exciting.
Yeah.
So here's a big question, which I know is a work in progress, but what are the speeds like? Can somebody like me who's used to using, both a cable modem when I'm in one place on Wi-Fi, but then also a 3G cell phone, what can I expect from the Xome experience?
Well, it kind of leaves the 3G cell phone in the dust. And it's comparable to DSL and some cable. It's like 2 to 4 down megabits per second down and roughly around 1.5 up. We've gotten a lot of reports from bloggers who have talked about speeds significantly in excess of that. Which again, kind of, for me anyway, not being a network engineer, surprised me. One thing that I'm discovering, I come from more of an internet background, less a wireless background, and I'm discovering that the wireless networks are a little bit sort of a dark art. You're not quite sure of the possibilities, and as we're finding again to our surprise and delight, we're finding people who are getting significantly better speeds than that. Now, of course, as we add up more and more customers onto the network, we're going to have to expand the bandwidth of the network as well.
Right.
And manage that as we go to make sure people maintain that level of speed. But it's been great so far.
So far, so good, it sounds like.
Yeah.
All right, we're talking with Rick Robinson, VP of Services for Xome. And in the couple minutes we have left, if we could ask you, you mentioned the Xome home router and also the, I think you said USB and also PC card interfaces for laptops. Back at CTIA in April, I got to check out this Nokia press event where they showed off the N810 internet tablet, WiMAX edition. Any devices like that or laptops with WiMAX built in or new devices that we were not yet accustomed to that we might see?
Yeah, we and I meant to mention the Nokia device that launched the 17th. This is a great little device. You already played with it, but it's a tablet about the size of an iPhone, a little bit thicker, with a full keyboard and high speed internet connectivity through Xome. So it's a great device.
We've got a couple videos on the Phone Dog site of the original
right.
N810, but then also at this event I talked about, Nokia actually took us under this platform that they raised up into the sky to have the press conference in to kind of, give the whole, you can go anywhere with this thing.
Right.
Yeah, so
exactly.
Some of the listeners, if you haven't watched that yet, listeners, go check that out on the site. It's a cool little device, definitely.
Yeah, it is cool. And we're working with a whole host of laptop manufacturers. We have a major partnership with Intel and many, many laptop manufacturers to embed WiMAX right into the device or into the laptop. So the way it would work is you buy your laptop, you go home, turn it on, and up comes an opportunity to sign onto the WiMAX network if you're encouraged. And if you are, boom, sign up and you're on. Not too different from how it works today if you buy a laptop and Wi-Fi is automatically built in. WiMAX will be embedded the same way.
Right.
And, you know, the plan there is to roll that out with all major manufacturers. So it becomes kind of an obvious decision for consumers when they get a laptop, they can just light it up and get connectivity wherever they are.
Right. Great. So if consumers want to find out more, even if they're not in the Baltimore area now, they can go to Zohm.com?
Absolutely. And that's XOHM.com. Sometimes a little confusing, but that's the best way to find it. And you should be able to get all the information you need there.
Great. Well, I for one can't wait till it rolls out to my neck of the woods way out here in the West Coast. I know no plans have been announced yet for our San Francisco area, but I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
We'll be there.
Nothing like more speed on the go when you're as information obsessed as people like me are. So.
Absolutely.
Great. Well, Rick, thank you so much. Again, this is Rick Robinson, VP of Services for Zohm. Zohm is the Sprint WiMAX network that just rolled out in Baltimore. As you heard, some more metropolitan areas on the way soon. Lots more to come next year. So again, Rick, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thanks a lot for having me.
All right, we'll be back in a minute. You're listening to Noah's Bark, the PhoneDog.com podcast with me, Noah from PhoneDog.com. Stay tuned.
News that apparently we had some audio problems there with the recording, and I sounded like I was speaking through an AM radio, whereas Mr. Robinson sounded good. So that's important, though, because you don't need to hear me in those segments. You want to hear the special guest. Thanks again to Zohm for getting Rick Robinson and for Rick Robinson himself for coming on the show, spending some time to talk about what Zohm is. I'm excited about it. I want it here so I can ditch my cable modem at home and ditch my cable modem at the office. And just get Zohm and pay less and have more freedom. That's always good, right? The good news is that as I speak, while I'm recording this and mixing it and stuff, the doorbell rang and it was the UPS guy with my new netbook. So that's exciting. I ordered an MSI Wind to try it out, to take it on the road. Because when you're at these trade shows all day carrying your bag around, 2 pounds, 2.5 pounds, you know, the difference between a 5.5 pound laptop and a 2.5 pound laptop is only 3 pounds, but it's also like over 50%. So giving it a shot. We'll see. I'm hitting the road later this week. Going to take it with me, try it out, see if it's worth it. And the double good news, though, which if you're in my neck of the woods, if you're in San Francisco, and speaking of the T-Mobile G1, if you've been wanting T-Mobile G1, I just got word. That's the longest breaking news suspense noise I've ever heard. I just got word that if you're in the San Francisco Bay Area and you can't wait till Wednesday the 22nd when the phones go on sale at T-Mobile stores at 8 a.m. local time, you can come on down to the 3rd and Market store in San Francisco Tuesday, October 21st at 6 p.m. Pacific time. And they're going to put the G1 on sale at that store only starting at 6 p.m. Pacific time. Now, I mention this because I'm not sure, but I'm going to try to get my tired little self over there to shoot some silly video. I don't know what's going to happen, so if I don't make it, if you go, don't go for me, go for the phone. But if you go and I am there and you see me, say what's up and tell me you heard it on the podcast. There you go. Anyway, so a little more of the G1. I'm not going to be switching to this phone myself because it just doesn't have all the things that I want out of a phone. But I really think there's a big future for Android. I was really impressed with how smooth the software worked. And I hope they don't lean too heavily on the development community in terms of, you know, Google's got to understand the consumer market. And consumers aren't all geeks. And they want things. They want the phone. If there's a G1 and it doesn't have a video player, And the salesperson goes on and on about the Android market and blah, blah, blah. And next to it is like an iPhone or a Touch Diamond or the BlackBerry Storm when it comes out or whatever. And it's got a video player on it already. The consumer is going to go for the one with the video player if that's what's important to them, you know? Somebody like me or you, depending on who you are, who might be a little more geeky and like to hack around with their phones and stuff, and I don't mean geeky in a bad way, I just mean into messing around with this stuff, might be more apt to say, oh, it doesn't matter, I can go get it from the Android market, and I'm sure it'll, you know, I'll probably be able to get a DivX player or whatever. But most people don't know what that is, they don't care, they want it to play videos out of the box, and if the G1 doesn't do it, there are a million other phones that do. So they just have to be careful. Google, T-Mobile have to be careful with that. Because there's a lot of potential, a lot of power in the Android platform. And even this phone that I didn't really like all that much in terms of the actual phone itself, the G1, it really was fun to use with Android. So there you go. Get your G1 if you're into it on Wednesday, October 22nd at 8 a.m. local time. Or if you're in San Francisco, head to the downtown store, 3rd and Market, starting at 6 p.m. Pacific time. Check it out. You know, if you see my shiny little bald head there, that means I made it. And be sure to say hi. In the meantime, no time for a mailbag today. We got to run. But send in your questions, your comments, your stuff for the mailbag, whatever. Phonedog.com, you can check it out. Phonedog.com/Noah is the page where all my stuff is. But be sure to read all the stuff. We got John now. We got Adriana. We got Ryan in the background doing his thing, getting the word out. Of course, Tom and Andre and Rebecca doing their thing in the home office. And, you know, we're doing what we do to try to bring you all the news we can and all the videos so you can feel like you've played with the phones without having to buy a million phones. And you can when you do buy, you can make a good decision. There you go. All right, that's it for the Bark. Special thanks again to Rick Robinson from Sprint Zome, a business unit of Sprint, for coming on, talking about Zome and WiMAX. Excited to see that roll out into more parts of the country. Hopefully I'll get to play with it sooner than later. It'll make its way out here to California. And again, special thanks to the Tampa Bay Rays for taking down the Red Sox. We love it. Thanks for tuning in. We will see you next time. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or on Podomatic, or you can just go to phonedog.com and listen to the Bark right there in your web browser. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.